Are there ever times when you feel that the Lord is leading you to do something, but you put it off? Or are there ever times that you hear something in the service or in reading a devotion from the Bible or the scriptures and you see that the Lord is commanding you to do something, but yet you don't do it? Maybe you've had good intentions about getting it done for time and again, but each time you let it slip by and it doesn't get accomplished. Sometimes I wonder about these kind of things. One time when I was doing such wondering was at college. At the time, I attended a non-denominational group because I was not aware of the dangers at the time. And I saw many fellow Christians who would work hard at their school work, and they would serve their families well, and they would also do little acts of kindness. They call them random acts of kindness. They would do surprising things and handing out food from time to time or things like that to those who needed it or just to cheer somebody up from day to day. As I progressed through college and I attended the adult Bible class at Concordia Lutheran Church, I began to wonder, though, if these friends in Christ were doing it because they knew that they were saved or because they felt that they had to do things in order to be saved. That's one of the dangers of non-denominational groups. They don't emphasize grace through faith alone the way that the LCMS does. It wasn't long, though, before I had another thought to wonder about and contemplate. If they were so zealous to serve because they thought they had to, how much more should we, knowing that we are free and don't have to do anything? Apparently, I'm not the only one to consider this idea. In his Chronicles of Narnia series, C.S. Lewis has an interesting quote in his book, The Horse and His Boy. Listen to this. "I feel just like Bree that I can't go on. But when horses have humans with spurs and things on their backs, aren't they often made to go when they're feeling like this? And then they find that they can. I mean, aren't we to be able to do more even now that we're free? It's all for Narnia." Now, granted, that quote sounds a little odd out of context. And if you've never read the series, it's a fantasy series. And so there are talking horses. And that is one of the characters speaking in this quote is a talking horse. But her point remains the same. She is scared. There are enemies at the back. They have a message for Narnia that only they know about. And if the enemy gets there first, Narnia will be under attack and will likely fall. And so they must be on their way. But it is a long journey. And so as they're going along, they get tired and they stop desiring to continue to push as hard as they can. And so she says this quote, you know, "What about those horses that have riders and they have spurs and things? Aren't they able to go faster than this? Shouldn't we who are free be able to do better than what we're doing?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have we not been set free in Christ our Lord by his death and resurrection? Yet how often do we feel that we can't or don't want to do what we know is good? Let's look at our epistle text then and see what Paul has written on continuing to do the work in the Lord. "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies." Paul writes to the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica about those among them walking in idleness. At the time, some believed that Christ Jesus' return would be imminent. And so they wondered, you know, do we need to continue to do this everyday common task stuff? Jesus is going to return anyway. Why should I be out working when he's going to return, you know, tomorrow or the next day? But Paul had already told them in his first letter, no, we need to be doing our common tasks even up to the time when Christ returns, because we don't know when it will be. It could be tomorrow, but it could be in 1,000 years. We need to continue. And so even at the time when Paul wrote this, his second letter, he had already been among them in person. And as he says in his letter, he had given them an example of himself. Even though he had every right as a missionary and in one preaching and teaching the word of God to have them pay for his food, he didn't do it. He paid for his own food and he did his own work. And sometimes there are situations, and I'm not sure if Thessalonica was one of these, but there were situations in Paul's missionary journeys where the payment that the church was able to offer was not enough for his living. And so in addition to doing ministry, in addition to writing sermons and visiting people and visiting shut-ins and doing funeral services and leading classes for new members, in addition to all of that, he was making tents. We hear about that in the book of Acts. And so these people he's writing to now in this, his second letter, have no excuse. He'd written to them in the first letter. He was there himself and gave them an example. And so they could not say that they had never heard it or that they had never seen an example of working hard in the Lord. Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard from this pulpit how Jesus' return may not be today or tomorrow and maybe in 1,000 years, but it could very likely be today or tomorrow. Nevertheless, you may still know some who walk in idleness. Idleness is just as bad of a sin as any out there. They go against the tradition that the apostles handed down, the tradition from Christ Jesus, our Lord. In our text, Paul was advancing along the Matthew 18 line of discipline. He had talked to the brothers in private and he had talked to them in person. He had given them an example. And so now he was telling the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, no longer have part with them. Do not associate with them in the hopes that they would see their error, turn and repent. If there is idleness going on today, it has not gotten to that point, at least not here at Augsburg. But again, idleness is not the only way that you can be out of step of the tradition handed down through the scriptures. There are other ways. How are you doing in living your vocations? Do you work at them as hard as you could, as though you were working for the Lord himself? Or do you spend your time on the internet and your cell phones playing games and checking your email, Facebook, Twitter, or those kind of things when you're in the office, when you're supposed to be working, not one of your breaks, but actually when you're supposed to be working? Are you using the gifts God has given you through His Holy Spirit in order to serve the church and helping at potlucks or doing mission work? What about being Sunday school teachers or superintendents? Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Just as Paul had commanded the brothers and sisters walking in step with the tradition handed down from our Savior to stay away from those in idleness, he also commands those who were walking in the sin of idleness to stop it. To stop it and begin doing the work that they need to do, to work quietly and earn their own living. This is what Luther had to write on the text. He connected this verse to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7, which says, "Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do." Luther highlighted the phrases from Ecclesiastes of your own bread and your own wine as gifts from God, as blessings from God, because God had already approved the work that we would be doing. He was saying that by having earned bread of your own and wine of your own, you were living as God desires and with His blessing. This applies to the godly, to those who fear God, as though he were saying, you who are godly, do what you can, because you know that God approves what you do. But how do we know that God approves what we do? From the gospel of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we heard last Sunday, we have all been made God's saints and His dear children. This is not of our own works. If it were up to our own works, we would still be mortal enemies of God. But thanks be to God through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth, went to the cross of Calvary, and on the third day was raised again, giving us the assurance that He has made us His children and His saints. What is more, God now approves what we do when we follow the tradition of the Scriptures. So as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. That's how Paul concludes this section. Don't grow weary in doing good. That is, don't look at those around you who are walking out of step and be envious of them, whether it is the sin of laziness or stealing or any other kind of sin out there. It may appear in this life that they are doing well, but when it comes to the end of time, how will they be doing? Will it go well for them, or will it, as Scripture say, not go well for them if they do not repent? But for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who are walking in repentance and the tradition of the Scriptures of Christ, that last day will go well for you. We heard last week of how not only heaven awaits us, but even more, restored, glorified bodies, the new heaven and the new earth, being brought together again with all of the saints who died in the faith before us, and being with God and our Savior Jesus Christ, and getting to see Him with our own eyes, await us. We have the assurance not in ourselves or our works, but in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called Him to Himself through His Word and through the sacraments. So we do not grow weary in doing good, but instead we work as for the Lord, knowing that He has already approved our work in His death and resurrection. We live as free men and women, not of Narnia, but of God, free to live as God desires through His Spirit and through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.